Ai, kia ora rā, e te iwi e hakarongo mai nei ki tō tātou reo irirangi o Te Hikoa Tika, iwa tukau mā whitu ira tahi te iarere. Ai, ko tō tātou kai kōrero i tēnei wā tonu ko Tākuta Rāwiri Tau Nui. Ki te kōrero e pāna ki tēnei take, tēnei mate urutā ki runga i a tātou, nō reira tēnā koe e Tākuta Rāwiri.
Kia ora koe, thank you for having me on.
Nō reira, tuatahi, kia koe, tēnā kōrero mai kōwai koe nō hia koe?
Nō Whirinaki, nō Hokianga.
So we are speaking about your latest media release in regards to the Delta variation at the moment. Are you able to just give us a quick update on what it is, your mahi that you've been doing?
So my mahi is I'm a researcher and a forensic researcher. So I, you know, if you give me a problem, I can find out what's going on. And so for the last year and a quarter, I've been researching and publishing on the COVID outbreak, trying to bring a Māori and Pacific perspective to that.
Ka pai. Can you please give us a summary of the cases so far regarding the Delta outbreak?
So we've got 277 cases after the first 10 days of the outbreak. There's 194 in the Pacific community. That most of them are centred around the church community in Māngere, and we've got 6 Māori cases. Now, for most of the first week, there were no Māori cases, and then on Tuesday there was 1, and then 3, then 2. So there are 6, and we're the lowest ethnicity so far. However, I think there's a high risk that the Māori cases will increase in number, mainly because we're under-vaccinated. So we have the lowest vaccination rate in the country, and the gap between the rate of vaccination for Māori and the overall vaccination in Aotearoa, New Zealand, that gap's actually widening. Although, you know, more Māori are getting vaccinated, we're actually falling behind. So we're quite vulnerable there, and I think it's a matter of the number of Māori cases will increase. We've got to cross our fingers that it doesn't increase by too much.
So you've spoken about the vulnerability of Māori and Pacific Islanders. What age groups has the Delta variant been more prominent amongst, and why?
So internationally, one of the things they say about Delta is that they use the term younger, sicker, and quicker. So Delta causes more severe illness than any of the other strains that we've seen before. And it has a higher number of mutations in the part of the virus that infects human cells. And what that's causing is a higher rate of infection in younger people. So we're already seeing that in this outbreak. 33% of all cases aged under 20. The youngest is probably Pepe, under 1 year old. Mm. And there's a lot. There are 32 that are aged under 10. Now, just going a little bit wider, 70% of all the cases notified so far are under 40 years of age. So there's a major risk in that area for Māori, because 56% of the Māori population is aged under 30. And if we look at our vaccination program, what we've been doing is vaccinating older people, but not younger people. So that presents a high risk for Māori.
And the government has tried to address that recently by extending it down to 12-year-olds. Is that something that we're also trying to press amongst Māori and Pacific Islanders?
Yes, we definitely want to see, you know, we need as many people aged 12 and over to get vaccinated as possible. And the level we need to aim for is between 76% would be about 80% vaccination. That would take account of the fact that we're not vaccinating young people under 12 years old. if we can reach 80%, then that's the level of best protection for our communities.
We keep hearing this word inundated with our data and information and just even collecting the details. Are you able to give us a little information on what is like the ongoing risk we run with our MIQ facilities in Aotearoa, and maybe even just a little bit more about what are our MIQ facilities?
So our MIQ facilities, there's two kinds. One is if a case is detected, and the other one is if people enter the country. So when people enter the country, they automatically go to an isolation facility, and they get tested there, and if they test positive, then they go to a quarantine facility. So I think we have about 40 or so facilities, and three of them are quarantine facilities for people who have already tested positive. Now, the real challenge there is, I've been arguing for some time that whenever we try to manage more than 30 positive cases in MIQ, there's a much higher risk of a breach into the community. Mm. And basically what I'm saying is that every person who is positive, they have a number of points of contact, say on average about 10. So that's border staff, the bus driver who takes them to the hotel, the security guards, reception, other clients in the hotel. And if you have 30 people in isolation and quarantine, then that's about 300 points of contact. And the more you have, the higher the risk, the higher the number of contacts and therefore potential breaches. And the fact of the matter is we've had about 16 breaches of MIQ into the community over the last year and a half.
Mm.
And all but one or two of those have occurred when it's above that 30 MIQ cases threshold. Now, the current outbreak started with one point of transmission into the community from MIQ when the average number of people in the MIQ was about 45.
Mm.
Now, the ongoing risk, and no one's really talking about this, is while we're detecting cases in the community and sending them into MIQ, As we talk here today, there are 314 positive cases being looked after in MIQ. So one of the really big risks is that there will be a further breach. I would say that that's almost inevitable. And, of course, if that starts off another chain of infections in the community, that's going to be more complicated and more difficult to identify because we're already chasing down quite a large outbreak.
And in your research or in your work so far, do you have any other recommendations on how to address that matter?
Well, one of the things we're doing with MIQ is, you know, and the government made a really good decision on this back in April. We were getting large numbers of positive cases coming in from the Indian subcontinent. So the government made a decision to introduce a filter, which they call very high risk countries. So countries that were sending too many positive cases here, travel was is banned from those countries. There are six on the list at the moment. And what that did was actually reduce the number of positive cases in MIQ. And they on average, they fell below 30. What we're not doing is thinking about high-risk regions. So, for instance, in the last 2 weeks, there have been 2.1 million positive cases in Europe. Now, we don't get too many positive cases entering New Zealand from any individual European country, but if you consider Europe as a high-risk region, so they're making up a quarter of all the cases in the current worldwide Delta outbreak, if you consider that as a high-risk region, we would do ourselves a favour if we stopped travel from Europe, except for New Zealand citizens returning home.
And lastly, just going back to how you're really pressing about Māori and Pacific Islanders, just upping the numbers and basically everybody getting vaccinated who are of age. You stated that the impact of Delta in the low vaccinated communities could possibly repeat the 1918 Spanish flu. So what is or what are the key messaging we need to make sure our population of Aotearoa follow?
So the main message is to stay in your bubble. When you go out to any social kind of situation or supermarkets or things like that, definitely wear a mask. Delta has a very high ability to infect people through aerosol. That's airborne transmission. That's really, really important. And then the biggest message is get vaccinated. Delta's causes really severe disease. It's 2.5 times more infectious than the original strains of COVID, and vaccination is the best way to go. And we need our population to be at the very least 70%, but 80% or more vaccinated. And that's fully vaccinated. At the moment, we're sitting on 11.5%, and that makes us really vulnerable.
Oh, appreciate all their kōrero. If our whānau out there listening wanted to run over this again, as it was a lot of information to take in, where would they be able to find all this kōrero that you've just shared with us?
So my articles are published on Wātea News, and then 24 hours after they're published on Wātea News, I send them out to the iwi leaders forum, and they send them out through their network. So if you're got contact with local runanga and organisations like that, then you should be able to get a copy that way.
O ngā mihi nui atu kia koe e tākuta rāuri. Nei rā, tumi atu kia koe. Hei whaiwai ki te kōrero kia hau, ki rungi tō tātou reo i rangi o te hiko o te ika. Nō reira, ngā mihi nui kia koe, mairore kia koe.
Ai, ngā mihi, thank you for having me on. Hei kōnā mai.
Ko Takuta Raori Taonui Tera, tētahi o ngā kai rangahau mō te kāwanatanga. I rungi i tēnei kaupapa ko rungo kē, roa ke te wā e mahi ana e āta rangahau, tea ruku hohonu ki wēnei o ngā tūmo mate i uhia ki rungi a mātou. Hoi nore te whānau, mautoni mai ki te haka rungo ki wētahi atu o ngā kaupapa kōrero pēnei ai. I rungi tō tātou reo irirangi o Te Hiko Te Ika, iwa tākou māwhitu, ira tahi te iarere.